name. Amen. Do you know a name which is above all every name? Do you know which? Do you know a name which is above every name? Do you know which? This name is Jesus, the name which saved me, the powerful name. This name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the name which saved me, the powerful name. His name is Jesus. Do you know someone who saved our lives, who changed our way I be? Do you know him? Do you know someone who blessing us, who is our way led? Do you know him? His name is Jesus, the name which saved me, the powerful name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the name which saved me, oh, the powerful name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the name which saved me, the powerful name. His name is Jesus. Do you know someone who is away, who blessing us? Do you know him? Do you know someone who change our lives, who change our be? Do you know him? His name is Jesus, the name which saved me, the powerful name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the name which saved me, the almighty name. His name is Jesus. All every names, do you know which? Do you know a name which is above all every names? Do you know which? His name Jesus, the name which saved me, the powerful name. This name is Jesus. This name is Jesus, the almighty name, the powerful name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the name which saved me, the powerful name. His name is Jesus.
Amen. Do you know that name? Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us go ahead and stand on our feet. Amen. Let's sing 398. He paid a debt. Amen. As Brother Colley gets ready to come up. Praise the Lord. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. sing a brand new song. Oh, amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt, oh, that I could never pay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. A blessing to be back in this house again and worship. Just pray that you touch our hearts and lift us up. Amen. It's good to call upon that name of Jesus and be blessed by it. I think of a little friend of mine. He will get in a bind. He'll say, help. And don't nobody answer. He said, help me. I'm the one in trouble. So when we get to the place where we need help, Jesus, help me. Guide my heart right. He'll bless us. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 111, verse 1 through 10. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have given us this opportunity to come together to worship. Lord, to lift us up from places of sin, of sorrow, Lord, of sickness. Lord, everything that we have that we shouldn't, we are calling upon the name of Jesus to deliver us from it. Lord, we ask you to go through our hearts, Father, in our homes, wherever we are. Lord, we look unto you for the blessing that we have need of. Just remember the services with Brother Wade ministering. Remember these words that we read, God, that they bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 111, verses 1 through 11. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
The words of the Lord.
His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever.
He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
He has given meat unto them that fear him, and he will ever be mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works, that he may give them.
The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness.
He sent redemption unto the people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. Have a visitor with us this morning, Brother Ravi and his family. Come on up, brother, and bless us this morning.
Amen.
Macon, Georgia. Amen.
It's good to be here this morning. It's so nice to drive up. See a bunch of cars in the parking lot, people worshiping. It's a nice atmosphere to come into. We're from Macon, Georgia. We go to a church called Believer Sanctuary. If you're ever in the area, please visit us. We have church service 10 a.m. on Sunday, 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This is my wife, Sharon. I got three kids. Two of them are back there. My name is Ravi Ramsing. My brother, Mark Ramsing, he's the pastor. I help him. But I know, brother, the reason why I'm here today is not because if I was here, I would come to this church anyway, but one thing that makes me come here is Brother Joseph Canada. He's been a friend from long ago. As you say, as the brother preached, teach this morning, that was in his script to meet us years and years ago. He used to stay in our apartment when he used to talk to a certain girl, but that girl didn't work out, just like that girl didn't work out with your script, and she went on to do normal things. And now Joseph is married to Rachel, and that script, that's God's, in his script, that's his drama. And we submit this morning to his script. Amen. And the song we want to sing this morning, I'll sing a couple of songs because Joseph said I can, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But the song we want to sing this morning is a simple song, is I Lean on You, Lord. You know, sometimes you go home and you sit there, and after all the troubles of the world, you might sit next to your wife, and all sometimes you do is just lean on her, you know, or she leans on you, and it takes away all the troubles of the day. If you just have somebody to lean on, just physically just lean on, you don't even have to tell them what's wrong, but they kind of figure there's stress, you know, things like that. Well, how about leaning on the Lord, you know? I mean, just like, you know, the footsteps of the ordered of the Lord. And then he quoted this one, he says, but yea do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes your footsteps take you there, but he's there with you. I will be with you always. So this morning, we're going to sing, I Lean on You, Lord. If you know the verse, if you know the chorus, you can join in with us. Let me get my words here.
Shining bright. I've been in the valley where the clouds were black as night. I've been betrayed like Jesus by a friend who was untrue. But in the good times and the bad times, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
Sing it, Rose.
I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you,
Lord.
For the things that I need, I lean on you. When I don't know what to do, I've got the faith you're gonna see me through. To supply my every need, I lean on you.
I've heard the battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name.
But I've been blessed,
and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do.
But in the times of joy, of sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
Sing it, brother.
I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord.
You're gonna see me through. To supply my every need, I lean on you.
One more time.
I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the things that I need, I lean on you. When I don't know what to do, I've got the faith you're gonna see me through. To supply my
on you, Lord, for the things that
Amen. There's no quitters in here this morning, right? Amen. Amen. You don't feel no ways tired this morning. You've come too far. Come too far from where you started from. Nobody told you. Nobody told you that the road would be easy. But he's here for you this morning. Sing it, Sharon.
I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started from. And nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Sing that with us.
I don't feel no ways far.
Come too far.
I've come too far from where I started from. And nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Just can't give up now.
And I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I started from. And nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
I just can't give up now. Sing with us.
And I just can't give up now.
I've come too far from where I started from.
Nobody told me.
And nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me
sing,
this
I don't
far.
Believe.
I don't believe he brought me
we'll
this
sing it
far.
Again.
I don't believe he brought
sing
me this
again.
Far. I don't believe he brought
sing
me
it again.
This far. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Amen. One more song, as brother. You could come up, but let's sing that song. It goes along. It came to my mind as you were singing this morning. He was there all the time in all your life, all these symbologies, all these things you went through. He's waiting all the time. Sing it with us. He was there all the time. He was there all the time.
Let's give him a hand clap. Good job. Thank you. Good to have you with us today.
Hallelujah.
Good job.
Amen.
Good to have him with us today.
Amen. Brother Robin, Sister Sharon, Brother William, Victoria, and Brooke. Hey, it's good to have text messages from Joe Canada. He can tell me who these people are. I didn't know them. I don't have that much discernment. But good to have them with us today. And they took a little trip up in Helen and decided to come by and see us today. We sure appreciate that. And we appreciate the Lord having mercy on them for their travel. And they're going to be traveling back toward Macon. Got to go through 85. Are y'all going to go cross country or 85? Got to go cross country. You know, you can get to Macon from here on 441, so you can go that way. But sometimes 85 is a little rough. Thank God there won't be traffic in heaven. Hey, man. No traffic jam. We're not going to have any red lights, stop lights, or wrecks. Or blue lights. Well, praise the Lord, some people know about that. Blue lights. But good to be here today. Good to have each and every one of you and see your smiling faces. And good to see our entourage from Zimbabwe. And I'm going to try to butcher their name. And Brother Anderson, if you'd write them big enough so a 63-year-old man can see them. Chantel? Oh, I must have said it right because she raised her head up. Ange? Donata? Well, I haven't butchered it yet. Christine, the mom. That's the mom. Good to have y'all with us today. We've got Brother Anderson will be helping out in the room there interpreting. So we got two preachers today. So good to have somebody that can interpret for us. Amen. We all had a good time at the wedding last night. It was really sweet for Lucas and Lois, and we sure appreciate them. And good to see Amariah and Zoe with us today, the Watkins crew from way south, South Carolina. Good to have them with us. So I want to read this from Brother Dale. You know, last week was his birthday, and we had a birthday party for him last Sunday. So I want to thank everyone that gave me a birthday gift. And the gift the church gave me, and all the bride on WhatsApp that sent me a happy birthday wish, and all the many, many bride that sent me a birthday wish on Facebook from around the world. May God richly bless each and every one of you. We want to thank Sister Barbara Ali for putting my testimony book together. We love all of you. All right. Thank you so very much for making it a wonderful 83rd birthday for Brother Dale. Amen. So. All right, let's turn to John 1:1 by way of our local announcements. Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night, April the 30th, which will be next Sunday. Brother Willie Smiley will be here, two services, regular, normal services. Here we are coming up in May. Where's this month, this whole year went? May the 13th, we're having a prayer service at 5 o'clock, and then Bible study from 6 to 8. That's kind of out of the normal. That's the second Saturday, but we got so many questions in the question and answer session that we're going to try to answer them and then have prayer service, because the next weekend will be the 20th. We'll have our youth service here for any of you that are here. Some of you from Macon, maybe you want to come. It'll be at 3 o'clock on the 20th, Brother William Borlevon will be here with us on that Saturday at 3. We'll have service, then we'll have eats afterwards, and then there will be games and different prizes, different things for the youth to do afterwards, and fellowship. And then we'll have one service that's next, the Sunday, the 21st, and Brother William will be with us during that time. It's something to mull around in your head. June and I were talking last night. For those of you that don't know, that's my wife. She's right here. Sometimes you have to tell people. So we were discussing last night about doing having like a sewing class. Or last year we had a canning class. After we did our garden, we had a canning class. And then maybe a cooking class. Some of you don't need it, but some of you, borderline. And all of you need a sewing class so June don't have to sew your clothes for you no more. Praise the Lord. Thank you anyway. Yeah. Brother Aaron spoke up. That's good. But no, really, if y'all want to do that, let Sister June know, yes, we'd like to do that. We'll have a sign-up sheet. We'll do it on one Saturday afternoon. We'll get you lunch for you. Guys, y'all can go fishing, whatever you need to do. Just leave the sisters alone and let them do their thing here if they want to do that. So that would be either a sewing class or a cooking class. No date has been set yet. Now, May the 7th, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but I just remembered these as I was writing them down. May the 7th here at the church, at the second service, all right, we will have a vow renewal service. All right, if you want to renew your vows with you and your sweetheart, buy her a bouquet, and we will have a vow renewal. We've done this several times over the years. And then also, we will warm the pool up outside, and if you want to be baptized or rebaptized, we're going to have that the same thing on the second service on May the 7th. All right, is everybody with me? That's the weekend before Mother's Day. All right, so May the 7th, vow renewal and baptismal service. If you want to be rebaptized or baptized, that'd be a good time. We baptized 20 people last year, and we sure appreciate the Lord being with us. And then I pray that the Lord will carry on what he's doing with those 20, and then more, and then more, and then more. All right? So I think that's pretty much got it. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the bride of Jesus Christ. Thank you for bringing us together, Lord, from all over the world. We're a worldwide bride. Lord, you brought them from all corners today in one little place called Lula, Georgia, that's so insignificant, hardly can find it on the map. But Lord, we've come today not to hear from this area or this building. We come here to hear from you. And Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll do the speaking today. You be the active participant in this service. You take over. And may also you go into the minds and hearts of the congregation, Lord. And as we sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, may we open ourselves up to you, Father. Close the world out. And, Lord, commune with you. Father, be with the ones that are sick, Sister Frida, Sister Johnny, and all the different ones, Sister Mary Darty, different ones that are not here today, Lord. We pray that you would put the healing touch on them, Lord, and bless them, Father, and take care of them, and bring them back together, Lord. I know they yearn to come to church service, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with them. Father, just bless the little bride around the world. Be with our visitors that are among us today, Lord, as they maybe return back home or return back to their place of worship. Lord, may they say, as the road to Emmaus, have our hearts not burned today that we've heard the word of the Lord. So, Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes, Lord. Just be with us through this furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The bride says, amen. Amen. So some of you that are here as visitors, I'm a little slow Southern guy, so we're on part 103. That's 103 sermons. So it's been a year or so. We've been on this, on the Son of Man, and we haven't even got to the Son of Man yet. We're actually on the statue of a perfect man. So if you'll just bear with us, I'll try to background a little bit. But let's read the scripture. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Now, 2,000 years ago, the Word was made flesh. Amen? Not all. That's not all. And the Word was made flesh right here. Just as the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us there, he's here now in the hearts of his believers, making us, what? Him, made manifest in another form called the bride. Not two different people, but these two are one, as we were at the wedding yesterday. These two are now one flesh. And the Word was made flesh, and that's what we're trying to pick up the thought today, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can have your seats, and we'll finish reading. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 says, besides this, giving all diligence. In other words, diligence, not dilatory. Diligence. Add to your faith. Now it's become your faith. Brother Bram said, this is my eye. God gave it to me. This is my Holy Ghost. God gave it to me. It's not his anymore. It's mine. All right? I possess that in my soul. So in our soul, we're born again, but remember, the spirit realm or the memories and conscious affection and imagination, that is still bombarded by the devil. That is where the greatest battle ever fought is in your mind, and it's your memory. If your memory don't bother you today, then come preach. Reasoning, conscious affection, imagination, all these things are contrary to God, or they can be used by God, one of the two. And we're praying today that if you're born again in the soul, you don't have faith and doubt. You have faith or doubt. You don't have the devil and God. You have one or the other today. There's no gray area. Now, you can be heading toward the new birth. You can be justified. You can be sanctified. But without the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul to burn that old nature out of you, you are of the devil. I'm just plain. The things I did, I do them no more. Why? The thing that made me do it is not in there anymore. All right? Praise the Lord. We believe in salvation in this church. We believe in redemption. We'll talk about that in just a second. But this is a furtherment of the plan of redemption, not just to get you born again, but to get you an active participant in the economy of God or the plan of God. All right? You can be born again. That's fine. But listen, we have babies here today and some very new ones. And, you know, they're sweet and they're lovely. And, you know, we do all the things for them. And they're cute and beautiful. But you don't take that baby as soon as it's born and put it in a closet and shut the door. Oh, that's a beautiful baby. You know, you could probably put a window and say, oh, that's a pretty baby. About a month later, that baby's going to what? Die.
That's right.
Even though it be a human, even though it be a baby. So we believe in a furtherment of the gospel in this church. We believe in growing in grace and knowledge. As the Bible tells us, the only way to do that is by a fivefold ministry. All right? Apostles, prophets, pastors. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Can't erase that out of the Bible. The Bible says the only way you're going to get perfected is by listening to the message of the hour through a fivefold ministry. All right? You can get bored again listening to tapes. You can get bored again reading books if you want to. But you cannot grow without a solid ministry to help you grow. Now, we know that, all right? And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now it's become your faith. Down at the bottom of the pyramid, that's your faith.
Yes.
So you're going to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. You say, Brother Wade, I've already got these things. The prophet told us. Yeah, you as a baby have every faculty to become a mother or a father.
Absolutely.
But guess what? Not going to happen till you get older. So you're not growing in new parts. So in the bride of Jesus Christ, we're not growing in new parts. We're just growing in grace and knowledge. We're growing in what God wants us to do. We didn't know when we were a kid that oven was hot, as Josh, our son, first words he said was hot because the oven stayed on. He stayed at Nanny's a good bit. Nanny runs them. Yeah, they're oven. You hear that? Not microwave, oven. Okay, all right. Our drive-through. What do you have? But he said hot. You know why he said hot? He touched it one time. He didn't touch it again. But now he's 40. We'll be 40 this year. Lord, 40. Wow, yeah, everybody go ahead. Wow. But he'll be 40 this year. He don't say that anymore. He knows it's hot. Same way with you and I. We didn't know what we were doing when we got born again. Even like yesterday when those... And listen, I'm not laughing for no other purpose, but it just shows you one thing. You can have a purity in your humanity.
Amen.
They didn't even know how to kiss. Because they'd never done it before. Hallelujah!
Amen.
How many of y'all can say, don't raise your hand. Your wedding day, was that your first kiss? Nope. Not most of you. I know Bob and Monica for sure because he told us that. But they were so awkward. But it was so cute. And it was so innocent. Because they got married. And now they're going to be able to enjoy. They don't know what that kiss is now. Amen? And they'll lawfully be able to do what they can do with that kiss. Amen? They can carry it on. And that's what with the Lord Jesus. When you get born again, you're a babe in Christ. You make mistakes. You fall down. You hit the wall. You throw food, you know, you get choked on something. But boy, as you get older, guess what? God expects you to walk on your own. God expects you to study on your own. God expects you to give back to Him what He's already given you. which is the scripture and the word of God and the message of the hour. Amen. We believe without the message of the hour, you might slide in the rapture, but I doubt it. Don't get quiet on me now. We believe that. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And we're heading to that in just a little bit. And to brotherly kindness, charity. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, look, without controversy. Listen, when the prophet of God came on the earth, there was so much controversy till there was denominations everywhere. And he was preaching to them in their arenas and in their churches. Amen? But now we've come to a place that I know for sure. I passed three Baptist churches. One of them, June and I got married in 40-something years ago. 43 years ago. 44 years ago coming up. I didn't stop in that church. I come to this one. Why? I know that that's not where I need to be. I know what the Baptist teaching is, a Methodist teaching is. And look at the Methodist church now. Even our little town of Gillsville, 300 people. There's a few Methodist churches, and one of them suing one suing the other. And they're suing each other, and they're not United Methodist Church anymore. They have been pulled apart. Why? Because some say we ain't going to have a gay woman standing in the pulpit. And some says, well, that's okay. We can. Everybody's the same. No. God gives us a standard. And when Brother Brown came on the scene, that standard was so convoluted. That standard was so fogged up. He calls it loose ends. There were so many loose ends till even a new Christian didn't know what in the world to do. But now, as the bride of Jesus Christ in 2023, after 60-something years after the prophet left, we are finally seeing that without controversy, you don't have to try to prove to me that Brother Brown was a prophet. I know that. I'm sold out. The voice of the day. But I know one thing for sure, that voice wasn't quiet. It came and rang out in a group of people called the bride. And the bride knows what she's doing with the word today like never before. So without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Whoa! That's Jesus. Well, yeah, that's you too. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, great is the mystery without controversy. In other words, without dispute, without quarrel. I'm not going to quarrel over you that Brother Brown was a prophet or not. I'm not going to quarrel over you that there's one true and living God. I know there is. The Bible backs it up. All right? I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you've been here a long time. You know what I'm saying. I don't need a quote to tell me that. It's in my heart. This comes from my heart. It comes from your heart. Sure, we love the quote. You're going to hear me right here. There's one right there. But I don't need a quote to explain to me water baptism. I can see it in the Bible. When I was 14 years old, wasn't even born again. We'd come in the message, you know, when I was like 1968. And I could read the Bible, and when I become 14 years old, I kind of knew what happened in the garden. Wasn't an apple that got me in trouble. Everybody with me? So this great plan of redemption, we're beginning to see more because the prophet tells us, and we'll look at that in just a minute, and this afternoon, Brother Ryan, we're going to talk a little bit about choice. We're going to slide that in there just a little bit. Because I believe in making a choice. I believe in free moral agency. I don't believe you came here with eternal life and that's all there is. And you're not going to do anything but be, you know, this and have a halo around your head. I don't believe that. I don't believe Brother Brown believes it either. Because I'm going to read you where Brother Brown said, God gave you a choice. He said, you people out here today, you have a choice. Choose God or choose death. Cain, you had a choice if you'll do well. Listen, it wasn't even through a preacher. God himself told Cain, if you'll do good. But if you don't, what? Sin lies at the door. So you and I, we have choices, even though I'll read you where Brother Brown said, God made a choice. God didn't have to have us. He was self-existent. He was Elohim. He didn't need the world. He didn't need me and you. But you and I were inside of him in attribute form. You and I were inside of him in the eternal life that he had to give as a father and as a son and coming down in the plan of redemption to be the bloody lamb. This was his plan. And we're just what? We're supposed to get into the plan.
Yes,
Now remember, what is a plan? A plan is something that you structure together toward an end.
Yes, sir.
Something you put together. All of you made plans. House plans. Plans for your future. Plans for this. Plans for that. And guess what? Being human beings, they get derailed about as long, fast as we write them down. Is that all right? They get just as soon as we write a plan down, it changes. God's plan never will change. So this plan of redemption is set in blood. It's a plan like a coach at a football team. You know, he's got the plan, and he's got a plan to what? Win. I've never seen a coach that went to a football game and had a plan to lose. He had a plan to win. God had a plan to win. He had a plan, though, first to show his attributes down through the ages and not just be that we're this, you know, zombie walking around not being able to have our own choice and not be able to have our own free will and to worship our Father the way we're supposed to. Everybody with me? So this coach has a plan, and every plan. When I played football, you know, all the X's and O's were on the board. When I was growing up, they still had blackboards. Sorry about that. You're doing it on a computer now. But most of you that don't know what a blackboard is, and being a teacher's pet wasn't an apple. It was taking them erasers and going outside and making all kind of dust. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. You young people don't even know what I'm talking about. You'd come in, you'd have chalk all over you. You'd have it on your head, you'd have it in your hands. But you know what? You were the teacher's pet. Because she would use that to erase the board when she was writing stuff on it. Okay? So he put a plan up. He said, we're going to do this. We're going to run this. We see the weakness of the team, and this is what we want to do. But you know what? That coach couldn't take that piece of paper and go out to the 50-yard line and throw it on the field and win. Everybody with me? It took what? Execution by humans. It took an execution of that plan. And the coach knew that. I'm going to put the best player right here. I'm going to put the best player here. But the best player here that I know of. And listen, when God puts the player in place, he don't ever change him. All right, so we're not talking about a plan that we see on television. You see, well, we're going to pass a little bit. No, we can't pass because they're doing this. We got to change. God never changes. That's why I love the Word of God. It never changes. Every plan, this whole plan of redemption never changes.
Amen.
Now, man has changed it. That's why I tell you, because let me tell you, there was a guy named Satan that was his assistant coach. He had his own idea, though. He wanted his own plan. So he got his own players. And it's been a fight ever since, but he just don't know that he is whipped. He's whipped from the beginning. So which team are you on today? Amen. If you'll be on the winning team, get on the team that executes the Word of God. As Brother Ryan was talking about, you know, you got to look at the words. I don't like that word execute when they're killing somebody. But execution means that you're doing something. You're getting something done. So we're going to execute the plan. But remember what we were talking about in the Garden of Eden in this plan of redemption. We're going to read it here in just a little while. Where we look in the garden and you see two trees. Now, we as, looking here and watching like we would a TV screen, you would think, well, one of these trees, the tree of life, is just beautiful. Brother Robbie, it's just every limb is straight. No leaves fall. It's so beautiful. Sun shines on it and it glistens and glows. That may not be because my tree of life had a crown of thorns. My tree of life had stripes on his back. My tree of life had holes in his hands. My tree of life had holes in his feet. Ugly. The world didn't even want to look on him. That's my tree of life. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil. No, that's the one with straight limbs, beautiful flowers. Because which one did they choose? Which one did you choose? But now I'll tell you that what the prophet said, though. It's not the tree of life over here and the tree of life of knowledge of good and evil over here. Right? What did the prophet of God tell us? They intertwined their limbs, and you couldn't tell one from the other. Wow. That's coming to the end time. That's coming where we're going to talk about anointing ones at the end time a little bit later on. Because when you come to godliness, there is a godliness that you're supposed to be like. And then there's a form of godliness that you better not be like. But it is a form of godliness. But denying the power thereof. And that's what Satan did. He denied the power of God. And he got his own team and he got his own players. And he went one direction. But you know what? He wants to fight to get back. He'll never get back. Praise the Lord. So this plan of redemption is for real. And it's not something that you got, you know, Coach, I see the play, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. That was one time, make it a little funny. That was one time I'm the center. I was the center of the team, center, snapper. So this guy runs in from the sideline. We used to run our plays in from the sidelines. You'd run an extra one guy in and one guy out. Well, this guy comes running in. He's flying in, you know, and he comes up and he gets in line. And he gets right beside of me because he's playing guard. He gets right beside of me in the huddle, and we kind of lean over, and here's the quarterback. Silence. It wasn't Ricky then. It was Dean. He said, "What's the play?" He said, "I forgot." I said, "Run something. Just run something." And then when we got in, the coach said, "Why'd y'all run that play?" I said, "Coach, I ain't going to call his name. Bless his heart, he's not here today. He forgot. So we just improvised and ran our own play." Well, that's not the way with God. We can't run our own play. Because God's going to say, "Why'd you do that?" That makes it a little elementary. So, like Ryan, I like Ryan, how Ryan weaves everything into his life. Because you know what? That's where it's at. In the life. Brother Brown said that's where we're losing it, too, is in that life. But we are winning it in that life if we live it correctly under his plan of redemption. All right? And then we'll come to that great, as we were talking about, the third pull, which is pulling us to something. It's not pushing us, it's pulling us to something. All right? So, Brother Brown, now how do we know this plan, though? How do we know this plan's real? Well, it's God. He must be. No. There's a playbook called a Bible. But the master coach stood back before time. And by foreknowledge, by him foreknowing what you would do, he then pulled himself back and predetermined this whole thing. Now that way I'll agree with you. I will not agree with those people who says you don't have a choice. Now Brother Brown plainly tells us he did not put you in a tube and pull you through it. Now plainly. But you know what? That is predestination. That's why it's not a good thing to use if you're not knowledgeable. Because you say, oh, no, because predestination is predetermined destiny. That means when you got here, your destiny was already predetermined. Now, that's absolutely the truth in the mind of God. Because it can't change. If God ever loved you, he'll never unlove you. If he never did, he never will. I agree with that. But listen, we got to come down into time. Time is where redemption happens. Time is where he is our Father. Time is where he is our Savior, our Healer, our Redeemer. But what's he doing with this plan? He's taking us back to the Garden of Eden before time ever happened. Now, I'll agree with you there. But I will not agree that there's nothing I can do about it. This is just the way I am. Now, y'all know Brother Dale hadn't preached that in 50 years. One thing's for sure, you have a choice of everything you do. All right? You can believe it and accept this today, or you can reject it. Because Brother Brown said, by your choice, I'll read it this afternoon, by your choice, that's where he got the quote that we like to quote, where he said, you're either better or worse when you go out that door. Why? Because you got to make a choice. Every service, we make a choice. Well, I'm just not going to come. Well, that's your choice. But you're against the plan. See, you go back to the plan. You're against the plan of God. So foreknowledge looks back and says that he foresaw this. He knows that's the reason he could tell the end from the beginning. So he looks all down through your life. He sees what you do. He sees what I'd do if I didn't even meet Jim. You say, oh, no, that ain't. No, God is infinite. Yeah, absolutely. infinite. That means he knows that way, that way, that way, that way, what you chose and what you chose somewhere else, some other way. Wow. Let me tell you, we'll talk this afternoon for some of you that are not going to be here. There's one thing for sure. You did not make a choice to get here. You had no choice of how you got here. That was God's choice. He even actually saw your character and put it in a germ and an egg. And then met your mama with your daddy and got you here. But once you get here, that's when your choice begins. I'll read it. I've got about 10 quotes this afternoon. I'm going to read it where Brother Bram states that exactly. He said, God made a choice to get you here. You had no choice to get here. But God found the character in your mama and your daddy. And put them together in holy wedlock. And guess what? Out you came. To do what? To make a choice. Now, when you got here, God knew what choice you're going to make because he already saw you getting here. That's just, to me, is so simple that God saw it all first. Foreknowledge. He had knowledge of it beforehand. He knows who's going to go up the statue of perfect man. He knows who's not. But he makes it available for everyone. And these virtues, as according to the prophet said in the statue of perfect man, these are required. Listen, these are required curriculum. If we're going to school, if we're going to have a plan, if we're going to have a plan to graduate is the body change, then we got to go through the curriculum that's set forth by God Almighty. And he does not have books that we don't need. I said he don't. Man does. He don't. We need the Bible. And we need about 1,100 other books to go with that. Because that enhances the Bible and tells you what it says. Didn't change it. Prophet God didn't come here to change the Bible. He didn't come here to change the way to be a Christian. Nope. New birth was way before Brother Brown got here. Hair and dress was way before Brother Brown got here. Water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, way here before Brother Brown got here. But it had been lost. People had got away from the plan. They said, no, I'm going to that stadium. Baptist, I'm going to that one. Methodist, I'm going to that one. Pentecostal. No, you got to get back into one that God foreknew would be the right one, which is his scripture. And we're not going to get anywhere today. Okay. He knew what hour and what day you'd be living in. He knew how much pressure you could stand. So he put you in this age to stand the pressure, the astronaut pressure. You know, used to back in the 60s, I remember 1969. When they first went to the moon in April, I believe it was, we were at the Big Bear Cafe up in Gainesville. And I know some of you, well, Joyce is not here, but Charlotte, we may have been there during that time. But we were watching it on television. The TV screen was about that big. Up in the corner in the restaurant. And it's all grainy and black and white. Not HD. Huge devil. Not HD, but you know what? There was a plan for them to get off the earth. Whether you believe they went to the moon or not, that's your business. It don't matter what you think or I think. If they did, they did. Brother Brown said, if they go, they'll not find anything. So, okay, so whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to argue. Listen, without controversy, I'm not going to argue with that because there's no basis to any of it. Let's just say they did go. They had to make plans. Do you know how they made plans? Because nobody ever went up into space and had zero gravity, right? You know how they trained? Anybody know? Underwater. They trained underwater. They went underwater and it made all that gear lightweight. It made them lightweight. So they did all those moonwalks in 20 feet of water. But remember, that was an intelligence of man. What about the intelligence of God that already knew about pressurization? Then he puts you in this end time, puts you in a message church, and says, here, this is a way out of here. Amen. And let me train you. Yes. Come to church, read your Bible. Right. Pray for people. Amen. Pray for each other. Yes. So Brother Ram says, look, now God's secret mystery. So now here's the secret mystery. It's been made known. Because now as I see that we say, well, we put a lot on Brother Branham being a prophet. I understand that. I agree 100%. There's no greater man walked on the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ but William Branham. Not a man born of a woman by sex was ever as great as Brother Branham. Everybody with me? All right, he wasn't Jesus Christ. He wasn't my God. Still ain't. And I say ain't. Everybody's from here. Well, they might know what ain't is. Not know what, but I know the brief of making know what ain't is. So back in the back part of God's mind, there was something he was going to trying and was going to achieve. So to me, when God sent the prophet by prophetic gift, he put that prophet into the mind of God, which was what? The totality of the plan of redemption. Everybody with me? The totality of the plan of redemption. The truth of everything. Predestination. One God. Water baptism. All these different things that we take for common. Told y'all the other day. What we discuss in this building. What we listen to on tape and books. Take 20 people. Just go up in Gainesville and get 20 people. Bring them down here and set them down. They'll be the most confused people in the world. But we're here sitting going, glory! That's exactly right. That ain't nothing but the truth. And them other 20 are going, they're crazy. And most of them that come in that ain't supposed to be here, they usually go out that door or that door pretty quick. Right? We've seen it before. Amen. Why? Because there's nothing inside to respond. Oh, wait, there's something inside to respond, all right. But it doesn't respond the right way. But as the prophet of God, what's your point? Well, if Brother Brown went back in the back part of God's mind, listen, he opened the seals, but did he close them? No. He opened the mind of God. He opened all these, and we walked into it. Amen. You and I are recipients of a prophet. But not just, thank God for a prophet. Now he's gone. We're waiting for him to come back. To me, that's the most lazy people in the world. Lazy Christians, waiting on somebody to come back. I'm not even waiting on the Lord Jesus to come back. I'm bringing him back. He's here now. I'm just waiting to resurrect him inside of here. And you. Where's the resurrection? Inside of you. Prophet of God will come out of the ground. First to be last to be first. He'll come out of that ground just as sure as I'm standing here. But he will only come out when we come to a place that the headstone in the church has brought Jesus Christ back to the earth with no death. That's through us. You say, I can't do that. Well, I'm fixing to read you here in just a minute. Now, back to back part of God's mind, there was something he was trying. What? The plan. He was going to plan it and what? Achieve it. And he had a motive. What's the motive? To get us back. Listen, it's been several thousand years since he communed with Adam in the garden face to face. Flesh to flesh, human. He can't do that now. He has to work through a group of people. Through your eyes, through my eyes, through a fivefold ministry. So he's waiting to see his bride like the armor meatpacking guy. I'm sure for a year he's like, oh, I can't wait. But I got to wait. I told her I'd be back in 1 year. I told her I'd be back in 1 year. And did he come back? Yes, he did. Same way here. But he had a motive in doing it and in order to let himself be expressed. Now, how is he expressed? Through me and you. Everybody with me? So now I can't do this. I can't. Had to come from the devil. That didn't come from God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord, who shall also confirm you. Confirm you. Unto the end, that you may be what? Read that with me. I make it big so you older people can see it. Blameless. In the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When is that day? Oh, that'll be when we get over here and get a body change. You better start working on it now. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, I compel with you, brother, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Yes. Yes. Boy, we got to work on that. And that there be no divisions among you. We'll get that in brotherly kindness. but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Not your mind, his mind. Be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Wow. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous... Now look, according to this, we're all in trouble. Because I'm going to hit every one of you. Know ye not that the unrighteous... That's enough. We're done. I don't have to read the rest of them. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, that's that group out there that we see when we drive by on Saturday. They're out there drinking and partying, carousing, you know, making all kinds of things, you know, being lewd, being all this stuff, drinking, smoking, cussing, shooting people up, you know, and become murderers and all that stuff. And Paul says, you need to stay away from them people. That's just a whole different class of people. No, it's not. Let's go to verse 11. And such were some of you. Paul turns to his congregation and says, I know your life. Such were some of you, but you are washed. Thank God you are sanctified. You are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Philippians 2 verse 15, that you may be, here we go again, blameless. Without spot, without wrinkle. I can't do that. See, you're already under devil's territory. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. In the midst of a crooked, I can't make it. This nation is so crooked and perverse. Yes, you can. John 17 said, Lord, I pray for them, not to get them out of the world, but for me to be in them in this world. God's not going to put a bubble around you and say, well, that's my child. He's not going, or she's not going to have any problems. No issues. You know, when you get born again, all of your bills go away. You don't have, you can go get a car. You don't have car payment. Now, John, me and you, okay? And then what's going to happen is your wife's never going to burn anything. Oh, I better go back over here. She's never going to buy anything that she didn't need. We're not that way. But we think it's a flowery bed of ease, but it's not. That's when the trials start. Because through suffering, as we've read many, many times before, perfection. You're perfected by suffering. If not, what would we be? Thank God. Brother Brown said, God is not a granddaddy. I got a grandbaby. Well, she ain't a baby no more. She's 14. All right, so you're sitting back there, Brother Robbie, in the very back. This right there. Yeah, that one. Smart, pretty. My grandbaby does nothing wrong. Nothing. You're not that way. Only my grandkids. But now, I have a son sitting right there beside her. He has been wrong from the day he's born. He's like his mama. See the difference? See the difference, though? A dotty old granddaddy God would be, he'd let us buy with everything. Does nothing wrong. Everything is good. Oh, that's okay. You don't have to come to church if you don't want to. You don't have to read your Bible and stay. Oh, come. That's just somebody's opinion. No, he says, I'll tell you an example. When Deanna was a baby, I have hunting magazines because I like to hunt. And I always get them and sit and read them, you know. And Deanna jumped up in my lap one day. She was just probably 5, 6 years old. And she got an ink pen. And I had the thing open, and I was reading it. Of course, she, you know, up here like this. And I'm like, get out. I'm not, I didn't say, get out. I said, come on. So she starts taking an ink pen, and she just marks it. Papers flying everywhere. Josh walks by. He said, Deanna, stop that. I said, she's mine. He said, Dad, what would you have done to me? I said, I killed you. Thank God, God's not a granddaddy. Amen. Amen. Dotty old grandpa, everything's fine. Don't worry. No, he's a daddy. He's a father that says, hey, do this. Because it's in the Word of God. Do this because it's my will for you to do this. Get in the plan of God. And not be. I don't want God to be a dodo old granddaddy, because you know what? That makes us lazy. Dilatory. Not diligent. It makes us not shameless. Not blameless. But when the character of God comes in us, or when he fills somebody with the Holy Ghost, that's when the problems begin. So the best thing for us to do is have patience. We went through virtue. Virtue means strength. Knowledge is not the knowledge of the world. It's the knowledge of God. To know that these things that I'm telling you are right or wrong. Something's inside of you right now. Right now. See, I don't envy Brother Branham for having discernment. I don't want to know what you're thinking about me right now. Most of you anyway. Right? If I could just read your mind 10 seconds ago, not now. Everybody's cleared their slate today. But 10 seconds ago, what you were thinking about me, I don't want to know. But God knows. But patience, I mean knowledge, to know that we do have discernment. Like Dad's always said, I don't need discernment. I can see it on your face. If I'm hitting you right between the eyes, you know you got both eyes crossed. You got that furrow in your brow. Everybody with me? So knowledge is the knowledge of God. Knowledge where to go. Knowledge what to read. Knowledge what to see and not see. Knowledge, and then having temperance. Not just temperance to just let everything happen. No, but temperance that if something does happen, that thing don't rise up inside of you. Because we all got that. Look at road rage. Road rage. Road rage. Road rage. Ran rampant. Somebody will kill you if you run them off the road. Not intentionally, you know, but they'll kill you. So that's the temperance of man, which is nothing, but the temperance of me and you is like Jesus said, I forgive you for that. Hit him on the head, drive the nails through his hands, I forgive you for that. So now we're at patience just for a moment, and then we'll go to godliness real quick, and we'll have to do that this afternoon. Not up here. In the New Testament, the word patience is not even in the Old Testament. Because listen, without the Holy Ghost, you can't have Holy Ghost patience. Hello, somebody. And they didn't have the new birth in the Old Testament. There was not a spiritual rudder to make them be patient. But when the New Testament comes, then Jesus said, I've come not just to cover you, I'm going to come inside of you. And then I'm going to live my patience inside of you, and I'm going to live it out. Yes. All right? A man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose. Listen, God had a plan and a purpose. You got to get into it. When you do, then you'll see the deliberate purpose that God did these things. And his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest what? What? That's a trial? It says trials. Suffering, sufferings, patiently, steadfastly. Brother Bram said, the statue of perfect man, so you're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. What about somebody pops up in 1955 and says, all right, we're going to the moon. Just get in one of these airplanes and take off. Now, they're wanting to do the same thing that happened in 1969. They want to go to the moon. But they're doing it the wrong way. By the time they get in that airplane, get about 35 or 40,000 feet up in the air, gravity's going to release, and they're going to die. Amen? That's the same way Brother Brown's talking here. Everybody that wants to go out and do their own thing and have something in front of the plan of God. But so many of us try the works of Christ before the reflection is in us. Now there's the trouble. Now there's the trouble. What? There's the trouble. So many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in it. Now there's the trouble. We find those things happening. You know what? I know what? We see these stumbles along the road. We find scrap heaps of ministers, of Christians piled along the road. It's because they didn't go into it right. He said Christians. He didn't say sinners. He said Christians. And that's why I'm here this morning, is to try to teach this little church. That's why we need teaching. Teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. That should be everybody's purpose, is to be the dwelling place of God. This is my beloved son in whom I'm what? Pleased to dwell. We'll get to the hear ye him. It's working. But you got to be pleased to dwell first. See, everybody wants to jump up and be adopted and be, you know, be a manifested son of God as a baby. Power without character is what? Satanic. But power with character. What is character? That's character. That is the character. That's the stature of a perfect man. The Lord Jesus himself. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Brother Abraham said 1960, El Shaddai. Now, God just, look, Abraham. Abraham's what? The father of our faith, right? And then Abraham, we found out, didn't obey God just right. Remember, God said, get up and go. Lot got up, I mean, he got up and went, but he took Lot with him. Out of the will of God right there. Now watch. Now he made ready and had faith in the promise. But, see, we can still have faith in the promise and not obey. Still, it hinders us. Obey what? Obey what's going, what the Word of God says. Remember what I said, the quote that I got from Brother Donnie? He says, you only really believe what you obey. Right. Think about that. You only really believe what you obey, because if you don't believe it, you're not going to obey it. 55 miles speed zone, speed limit sign. If you don't believe that, the cop will make sure you do. But look, that doesn't do away with that sign. That doesn't do away with that law. Well, I'll just get it on for myself. I'll just, yeah. No, you're not. We can still have faith in the promise and then not obey. Still, it hinders us. What did Saul do one time? Saul comes up and Samuel, the prophet. Here we go. The prophet of the hour. The prophet of the day walks on the scene and says, kill them all. Men, women, children, and those two kings for sure. I want them gone. Right? Through Samuel, the prophet. Not the dirty old granddaddy. Right. So Saul says, I'll take part of that. You know what he said? No, brother, he didn't say that. Well, yeah, he did, because he brought him back with him. He didn't do what his prophet told him to do. Everybody with me? He didn't do what his prophet said do. He got him in trouble. Samuel walks up and says, hey, what's that out here? Hey, what's them two kings doing in prison? I told you to kill them all. And praise God, he drug them two kings out, cut both their heads off. A prophet. For not obeying. He said to obey is better than sacrifice. Oh, but brother Branham, we're gonna bring all these, or Samuel, whatever you want to say. We're gonna bring all these and we're gonna offer all this. That's not what the prophet said. The prophet, God said through the prophet, kill them all. Same way with me and you, with all the demons we got to deal with. Now, Brother Brown says, look, patience with what? What kind of patience? First thing, have patience with God. If you got real, genuine faith, you'll have real, genuine patience, because faith worketh patience. When God says anything, you believe it, that's all, you got patience. Isaiah 40, verse 28, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Somebody ought to write a song about that. That's your perfect man. And we should have patience with one another too. Like I've tried to get this message over at the tabernacle to see that each member of the tabernacle, look, becomes this. I'm sure he's pointing at that. It's hard to do. I've tried to have patience. Now watch. He's a prophet. They know. To a degree, he's a prophet because of his discernment. But what are they doing about it? Brother Brown said, you read it. You can read it behind me. How many times has he preached on women cutting their hair? paint in their face. How many times we preach to y'all about not coming to church and all these different things? Years. You're just not going to make it. This is 33 years. Brother Dale, 50 years. Women still bob their hair. He didn't change one of them that didn't want to be changed. They only obeyed what they believed. They didn't believe God said that about them. Everybody with me? You can be silent if you want to. I want you to mull that around in your head a little bit. Women still cut their hair. You know what? He never did away with one denomination. You'd think with a prophet on the scene. Come on now. With a prophet on the scene that the Baptist would just come right into the message. The Presbyterian. Oh, surely the Pentecostal. No, they got worse, he said. They got worse. As he preached, they got worse. And then they split off and got Church of God and Church of God of Prophecy and all these different Pentecostal groups now. What are you saying, Brother Wade? It doesn't matter if God himself comes back and tells you, if you don't believe it, he's not going to override your free moral agency. Because he's talking to you right now. That's what I say about all these people that I'm going to say it anyway. Then we'll close. You can throw bananas at me, rotten tomatoes after we get done. Everybody wants Brother Branham to come back. Oh, he's going to come back. He's going to resurrect. Now, if y'all believe that, that's fine. But I'll promise you one thing. If he comes back before this thing's all over with, they're going to hate him. Didn't they hate Jesus? They hated him. Listen, they hated Lazarus. You read your Bible. They didn't only want to kill Jesus. Them scribes, the religious people, wanted to kill Lazarus. Why? He was alive. Oh, that's not Lazarus. Oh, come on. He looks like Brother Bram. It just looks like him. Because he's over here telling us we're supposed to go to church. We're supposed to do all the... Yeah, anyway. Just have patience. We got to all have patience. Have patience with God. Have patience with your brother. Have patience with your sister. Have patience with your song leader. Have patience with everybody. All right, just have patience. Now listen. One more before we close. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience. As I told y'all a few weeks ago, now patience doesn't mean go sit down on your couch and wait on God to do something. Now, if we say patience, then you say, well, bro, wait, I got patience. I'm going to just go sit down. I say the same thing about a job. If you want a job, right, Brother John? If somebody wants a job, pray for me, brother. Pray for me. I'm going to go sit in my house and lock the door and turn my phone off. Surely God will send me a job right down the pipe, maybe come down like Santa Claus through the chimney. That's about as much as you'll get out of it. But if you'll get up off of your can and go fight to look for a job, present yourself, show yourself as a Christian person, show yourself you got some intelligence. Don't go. I work for the post office. Some of y'all don't know that. We had a hiring thing the other day. There's this lady comes in. She's got green hair from here to this side. She's got pink hair from here to this side. She's got on clothes that she should apply for another job in Atlanta in the street. Everybody with me? But she comes to an interview. And it's a surprise why she didn't get hired. That's the mentality of the world. But that shouldn't be your mentality. Young kids, to get a job, you put on your best. Brush your teeth. Brush your hair. Put on a good set of clothes. Stand straight. Don't slouch over. And don't go in an interview with your phone. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Oh, hang on a minute. Hold on. This is the way it is. Deanna, how you do that? That duck stuff? I don't know what. I can't even do it. To make your lips look big. Selfies. That's our problem. We're a bunch of selfies. All right, let's turn the page. Run with patience. Now what? That's like running with a football. You're running with something. You're running with patience. Now, they're not after it, but now remember, you got the other team. And if they see Brother Bob running down the field and he's like this, they're not going to chase after him, them demons won't. But if you got the football, you got that little thing in your hand, and you going in running with patience, they're going to be... Never seen them tackle. Well, I have seen them tackle somebody without the ball, but usually they're after the guy that's running with the ball in the hand. That's the same way with me and you. When we come to this statue of a perfect man, it's not going to be easy. We're going to have patience, number one, with God, but to run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Watch this, and then we'll close right here. Musicians, come on. Who for the joy, look, the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Matthew 10, verse 22 said, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." That word endureth means to remain, to abide, not recede or flee. If you have a problem today, let's pray about it. Don't run away from it. Run toward it. The word end means the end to which all things relate, the aim or purpose. That's why Brother Brown comes up to the seventh seal. He said the seventh seal is the end of all things. You're like, pfft. No, that just begins the book of redemption. All right, everybody with me. Now, godliness, we'll get into that this afternoon. Talk about being like God. I can't be like God. Yes, you can, because Brother Branham said, if God required it, he's got to make a way for you to get it. All right? And you can't get it on your own. Never has been that way, never will be that way. Let's stand to our feet. Godliness, to be like God. Wow. But look, reverence, respect, piety towards God. Then we're going to look this afternoon, because there's going to be some people that have a form of godliness that's going to act good, that's going to act seemingly right. They're going to intertwine themselves with the bride. Come on, somebody, because we're going to talk about anointed ones. They're going to attach themselves to the bride, and you're not going to be able to tell the difference except a revelation of the Son of Man. You cannot. You say, prove it, okay? There was 12 people sitting at a table. Everybody with me? There was 12 people sitting at a table with Jesus. Jesus starts telling them. He stands up. He's the what? He's not the Son of God at that moment. He's the Son of Man. He's God in human flesh. He's the Son of God in a man. So that makes him the Son of Man. All right? So the Son of Man is sitting at a table. And listen, supposedly, now listen. Listen to me real close. Supposedly those are his 12 disciples that believe what he says and does what he says. That's what a disciple does. They weren't that yet. They weren't there. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. So they were wondering, well, who's the best in the kingdom? Who is this? What are you going to do when you get back? Do we have to do this? Do we have to do that? Lord, who's this person that's going to betray you? He said, the one that puts their thing in the bowl, which would be the bread in the bowl, and probably sop up a little gravy. Said, that's the one that's going to betray me. And the Bible says Judas did it, and they still didn't know what he was doing. But one man did. The Son of Man knew he was fixing to be betrayed. All them other 11 had no clue. The religious part of the church at the time. But now on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, remember Paul, Peter stands up and he tells about the one that betrayed Jesus. They knew what Judas had done then. But when they were sitting at that table, because Judas had a form of godliness, and he was so close till they could not tell. Because the Bible says it could deceive the very elect if it were possible. That's what we're heading toward. That's what we're looking at. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Thank you for being attentive.
That will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day.
Nothing. It'll be pure joy and pure peace. All the former things will be passed away. Behold, all things will be made new. The mind of God will now be transferred to you and I in its fullness. And we will be God in another form, called his bride. It's starting now.
Glorious day that will be.
Sing it to him one more time.
When I look,
that's what we long for, to see him, be able to touch him, not have to see him through the filter of these eyes, but see him through the eyes of God. Yes, sir.
Me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, yes. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace.
Lord, that she will be raised up,
Lord,
and glory.
When it
Lord, and we pray for his sister too, Lord, Sister Johnny, Lord. And we pray for our brother too, that you'll bless this vessel that he's living in, Lord. That you'll touch him, Father, and keep him strong, Lord. Be with his wife, Lord, and his sister, the whole family, Lord. And that you'll bless him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Got it? Bless you too, buddy.
When no heartache shall come.
Oh, one day.
No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. Peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Sing it to him. We can see a little bit, but it'll be his fullness on that day
when my Jesus I shall see.
What a day. We can see a little glimpse of it now. I know we got trials. Sometimes we look through tear-stained eyes at the problems and trials that we have. But would you trade it for eternal life? These little things that we go through that, oh yeah, when we're in the middle of them, Sister Regina, we're in the middle of them. It's a mountain. To God, it may be a molehill. And after you get through it, you'll see that it was just a molehill. But Satan got you so close to it, it looks like a mountain. Put that thing in God's hands. Put your kids in God's hands. Put your wife, your family, put them in God's hands. And say, God, save them. I want all the people I know saved. You say, that's impossible. Nothing is impossible with my God. Right? Nothing is impossible. We make it impossible because we have excuses. Let's quit making excuses. Let's live for God. Glorious day, that will be. Come back at 2 o'clock.